Welcome on board a daily adventure to discover true wisdom, authentic hope, a stronger faith, and profound joy. Yeah. Yeah. Hey. This is the Debbie Chavez Show.
You're the shining star, no matter who you are. Shining bright to see what you can truly be, what you can truly be.
Welcome, friends and neighbors. Oh, it's so good to be back together again with you as we journey through this life together toward hope, wisdom, and joy. And the program today focused on moms and how to stop living in such fear and worry and anxiety and stress about your children. I mean, I know most moms are kind of neurotic in this way. I mean, I know I have been almost my entire motherhood, even though my kids are well into their 20s, upper 20s even, and you just still worry about them, and it's ridiculous. And you know you shouldn't be worrying, and that God says that we're not supposed to be worried, and yet that's where we find ourselves. Well, my guest is also a mom and a Bible teacher and an award-winning author, Cindy McMenamin. And will be joining us in just a moment to reveal 10 secrets that she's learned to becoming a worry-free mom, even when your kids are making choices that are disturbing or disappointing, and even when you see them hanging out with perhaps the wrong people at school or whatever, you know, how you can basically trust in God and finally find some peace so that you're not that nagging mom or that lecturing mom or that super stressed out, frazzled mom, right? That's coming up in just a moment. But before that, I always start out the show with just a tiny Bible-based pearl of wisdom for all the wives tuning in today.
We are family. Hey, hey, hey. I got all my sisters with me. We are family. Get up, everybody, and sing.
All right, ladies, I wonder what would happen if we asked God to transform our character into His character, and then we actually began striving to display His character in our marriages. You know, I bet tons of marriages would begin to thrive if we actually worked at displaying God's character toward our husbands. Now, what is God's character? One of my favorite passages that describes four elements of God's character is in Psalm 103, verse 8. The Bible says this: "The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love." Let me just read those four things again. Compassionate, gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. Now, even just pressing into one of those four qualities could make a huge impact in your marriage. And let's focus on just one. What if we started displaying grace toward our husbands? Now, grace simply means giving someone unmerited favor, undeserved favor, just showing loving kindness just because. Now, I'm not saying that you should ignore super destructive patterns of sin in your husband's life. You might need to confront that. However, I am saying, what if we were to work to extend kindness to our husbands, even when they've annoyed us or disappointed us in small ways? In fact, what if you were to extend grace by choosing to believe that your husband didn't wake up that morning trying to disappoint you? Because actually, that's a pretty faulty assumption. I'm pretty confident that most husbands don't wake up in the morning and say, "I know, let me figure out how I can disappoint my wife today." I don't think that's how it works. Usually it's their own personal issues or our own personal issues that cause any of us to do things that disappoint others. So what if you were to just extend grace to your husband by choosing to believe that he doesn't purposely set out to disappoint you? What if you were to give him the benefit of the doubt? Extending that kind of grace could change your whole attitude toward your husband, and that could dramatically improve your marriage. Would you give it a try? Would you be willing to extend grace this week and see what happens in your marriage? Well, from that, let's move to the topic that I know most of you tuned in for, which is, if you're a mom, you're wondering how in the world you can stop neurotically, yes, I'm using the word neurotically worrying about your children, because this seems to be the specialty of virtually every mother out there, right? But there's got to be a better way. And my guest says, yes, that's true. In fact, she has 10 secrets to becoming a worry-free mom. That is the title of her book. I welcome back to the program award-winning writer, national speaker, Bible teacher, and mom, Cindy McMenamin. Hi there, Cindy.
Hi there, Debbie.
Thank you for joining me once again. Again, your book is called 10 Secrets to Becoming a Worry-Free Mom. You have our attention, Cindy. And just so that we know that you understand our pain, understand our worry, understand our fear, tell us if you've ever experienced this as you've raised your daughter to the age of, what, 23 now?
Yes. I have one daughter, the only one I have, and when she was about, almost 2 years old, we had a scare with her. I talk about that in the book, and it looked like she might have cancer or leukemia, and we had a few scary days in the hospital. And I remembered God just pressing on my heart the whole time that was happening is, Cindy, what do you really believe? All this time you profess that I'm God. Do you really believe I'm God, and I can get you and your child through this? And that was foundational for me, and I've had to remember that moment throughout other times, other things that happened to be scary, and then when I learned she's the only one I'll ever be able to have, we had secondary infertility and stuff like that, then I began to realize, okay, God, you gave me to her, and you know exactly what's going on, so I'm going to trust you with this.
Yes, yes. So would you classify or say that you have, you know, throughout your journey of raising your daughter, not that the journey ever ends, but, I mean, would you say that you did tend to worry more than not?
Well, I think, you know, I have that bottom line, God is in control. But there are times when we can just go off with those what ifs in all sorts of ways. Oh. You know, what if we can't afford her college education? What if?
Oh, yeah.
And I've had to constantly come back to that place of, this didn't take God by surprise, Cindy. How can you practice these steps to have peace and not worry?
Yes, yes. Well, and before we go any further, in the book you give us a couple of compelling reasons why we have to let this worry go, because it really does have a huge impact on our health, on our relationships. Again, you lay it out in the book, but why is it so necessary for us to work on letting go of the worry?
Well, first of all, worry causes stress, and stress literally kills people.
Yeah.
It leads to ulcers, anxiety. It advances our cells and causes us to age prematurely. So there is truth that worry gives us gray hair.
Is that why I look so old? Okay, it's all coming together now.
And so while we learn not to worry, we're investing in our health, which is a gift to our children and others.
Yeah.
And secondly, worry damages our relationships with our children. As our children grow, when they realize and they notice that we worry about things, they will tend to tell us less. I don't want Mom to worry about this.
Oh.
So what she doesn't know won't hurt her. And finally, worry models mistrust to our children.
Yes.
When we worry about them, we're showing them that's how you respond to situations. We can be modeling trust or stress to them according to how we handle situations in life.
Oh, yes, that's so true. And you say something very convicting in the book here in the opening pages. You say when we tend to think that how much we worry is an indication of how much we love our children, but you say it's actually an indication of how little we know God.
Yes, and I didn't say it's an indication of how little we trust God, because once we really get to know Him, we can't help but trust Him. So I think many times it's just not really being aware of who He is, how good He is, how much He is in control. So I encourage women throughout this book to get to know God, to get to know God's promises and His character. And then perfect love casts out fear. When we love someone perfectly, we'll trust them immensely.
Yes.
There's no room for fear.
And this is where you lay out something very simple to remember. You call it the ABCs of surrender, and the A and the B and the C stand, you know, it's an acronym, and that one's very easy to remember, the ABCs of surrender. Can you walk us through these really simple but profound and maybe hard to do things that will help us surrender our worries to the Lord?
I call them simple to remember, but sometimes not so simple to do. The first one is admit you do not have control over your child's life.
Oh boy.
Sometimes it's just saying out loud, I'm not in control of my child's life, God is. And we begin to believe as moms that we are in control.
Isn't
because,
that true?
Yeah, we can monitor what they watch on TV. We can, for a while, monitor their friendships, who they can hang out with, who they can't, and what they can eat. But eventually, we will lose that control. Our children will make decisions on their own. They'll be exposed to things when we're not around. And so right away, even as they're younger or wherever you are in your parenting, to be able to surrender that quest for control by saying, I'm not in control of my child's life, God is,
yes.
is that first step
yes.
to having peace.
Mm-hmm. And that is a hard one right there, because we tend to subconsciously, I don't know if we consciously think this, Cindy, but we subconsciously think, I must control their life. It's up to me. It's up to me to totally fashion them, shape them, mold them, control all their circumstances. And we put ourselves under tremendous unreasonable pressure when we think that way, don't we?
Right. And again, our kids notice when we're trying to control every aspect of their lives, especially as they get older. Mm-hmm. So we have to learn to surrender that control even more as they get older and become adults.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. So the B, what does that stand for?
The B is believe God wants only the best for you and your child.
Mm.
You know, sometimes we fear that, okay, it's in God's hands. We actually fear that God's going to demand something from our child or from us that we don't want to give.
Mm.
And when we understand God loves our children even more than we do,
yeah.
He loves us even more than we can imagine, then there's peace in placing ourselves and our child in God's hands.
Yes, yes. And then the C is really foundational here. Go ahead and tell us about this one.
Commit yourself to a deeper knowledge of God.
Mm-hmm.
Our worry factor is directly related to how well we know God.
That's
and
right.
when we truly know Him and understand what He's capable of, we can't help but trust Him.
Yeah.
So we can commit ourselves to getting to know God by spending time with Him in prayer, getting to know His Word, His character, His promises, and then we'll find that worry just kind of falls by the wayside, and we have this new habit called trust
mm-hmm.
rather than worry.
Yeah, yeah. Well, let's get into the 10 secrets, because, again, your book is called 10 Secrets to Becoming a Worry-Free Mom. And the first secret, you say, is partnering with the perfect parent. And this is where you tackle this thing that so many moms wrestle with, which is insecurity. Like, what if I'm not doing this right? I don't really know what I'm doing. Am I making all the right decisions for my kids? And this is where you talk about the root of our insecurities. Where does this come from?
Well, sometimes we're insecure because of how we've been raised. I've talked to lots of moms who didn't have a real nurturing relationship with their
yes.
own mom,
yes.
so they feel like they might blow it.
Yeah.
I constantly get emails from moms saying, I don't want to pass on my dysfunction to my own child.
Mm.
So we're aware of our brokenness. We're aware of our failures and our imperfection. And that can sometimes make us insecure.
Mm-hmm.
Also, we can be insecure in our parenting. Maybe with the child we have, we might have a real strong-willed child.
Uh-huh.
We might have a special needs child. We might have a child that is very challenging.
Yes.
Yet God knows exactly the type of child He gave us,
yes.
and He gave us that child for a reason. He wanted us to depend on Him. How our children are behaving can also make us feel like a lousy parent. I've talked to several moms who will say, you know, this is what my kid did last week. How did that happen? I must be a lousy mom.
Mm-hmm.
And we immediately blame ourselves
mm-hmm.
for how our children behave. We begin to get insecure about what others are saying about us.
Yes.
Or
yes.
maybe not saying. You know,
mm-hmm.
somebody told me the other day, you know, I don't even know what I'm doing as a mom. That hurts.
Mm-hmm.
So we can tend to look at all of that and put it all together and say, wow, I can't do this, and we can end up worrying about that.
Yeah, but you say that the source of our confidence should be the Lord, and then you give us some practical things you do. It's actually the word pray as an acronym. So talk us through, again, how we overcome this insecurity and start to gain peace, you know, that God can help us in this parenting process.
Well, the first thing is to pray, and I tell moms, pray to commune with God, not necessarily to get what you want.
Mm.
Sometimes we pray only when we need something, and
mm-hmm.
God wants that relationship with
yes,
us.
True.
As we end up telling Him about everything, He already knows about it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But as we tell Him, we are growing in the relationship and growing in the dependence
mm-hmm.
on Him.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all part of the relationship where He gives us His wisdom, and He can be there with us, and His comfort can presence us. His presence can comfort us.
Indeed, indeed. And then the R in this acronym PRAY is also huge. It stands for reach out for help. Because, you know, I think about, you know, 200 years ago or whatever, you know, in maybe even the pioneer days, you had families that tended to stick together where the mom might, and the dad, you know, the grandparents, I guess I should say, would maybe be in an adjoining part of the house or whatever. And there was a lot of mentoring that was going on. And now we're so fractured and pulled apart as families. Sometimes we feel like we're standing alone in this process, right?
Yes, and I've talked to a lot of military wives who move every few years and just don't seem to have that sense of community. And so I give several suggestions for reaching out for help. Finding a mom's group, even if it's just a little Mommy and Me class when your child is three, MOPS, Mothers of Preschoolers, that are available at church. Many churches now are recognizing that when your child is out of preschool, you still need that support. So there's lots of mom's groups for moms of all ages. Moms in Prayer, which is available at so many public as well as private schools.
Yes, yes.
My friend Stephanie Schott has the Mom Initiative, and there's information you can get on themominitiative.com. I've got another friend, and I talk about her resources for single mothers. And there are lots of places out there if we will look and glean the help from other moms who've gone before us, because we need that sense of community around us.
Totally, totally. Then the A in the acronym PRAY stands for Ask God for Wisdom, but you say don't necessarily ask Him for the answers? What?
Because, well, okay, so I quoted Oswald Chambers, who says, spiritual lust causes me to demand an answer from God instead of seeking God Himself who gives the answer. Mm. And so, again, it's that whole, I'm going to pray for the relationship.
Yes.
And yet, in James 1:5, we are told, if any of you lacks wisdom, and that's most of us most of the time, let him ask of God who gives generously to all without reproach, so that it may, so that we can have that wisdom. Mm-hmm. And I love that God gives it generously, and He gives it to all, and He gives it without finding fault.
Mm.
Meaning, if we've asked for wisdom before and we didn't necessarily use it, God's not going to call us on that and say, you know what, I gave you the wisdom last time and you really didn't use it, so you're done. Moving on. He continues to give us that wisdom.
Yes. And then the last letter in this acronym, PRAY, is Y, yearn for a closer walk with God, which again is just going to help us to start to relax, realizing He is in control. So let's get to secret number two. And this is, you say, realizing God can control what you cannot control. And, you know, but this is so hard, isn't it? Because back to that fear thing, it's like we see maybe our child hanging out with the wrong people or you know, starting to develop a rebellious attitude or whatever. And we just feel like we've got to take care of this, right? So how do we let go and let God, so to speak?
Well, first of all, I include some charts in that chapter,
yes.
And because some people are visual and need to see it. I've been a person who kind of needs to, you know, make the pro and con charts and write something on the left side and on the right side. And so I help a mom go through the example of if they're worried about something.
Yes.
What is true about that situation? Mm. Okay, your child is outside of your presence that day. They're with a friend. Well, I wonder what's going on. The truth is they're with a friend. But our fears can be any number of things. You know, well, maybe they're engaging in something, you know, unsafe. Maybe they're not going to be in their car seat. Their mom takes them somewhere, you know.
Yes.
And we can just go crazy with that. Mm. But when we, first of all, just focus on what's true.
Yes.
And then the truth of God's character, that can usher us to the place of peace. If you haven't heard from your child for a while and they've got a cell phone and they haven't called and they're not answering, we can go a million different places
with
fear.
Yeah, they're in a car accident. I just know it. They're in a ditch somewhere, and you know, they're half dead, and no one will even know because it's nighttime, and no one's going to see them in the ditch. And okay, we all know what you're talking about, Cindy.
We all have that ditch worry. Yeah. Yes, and what is feared is nobody, including me, knows where the child is. But what's true is God is aware of every detail. Nothing takes Him by surprise.
Mm.
And even if there are several hours before you find out where that child is, doing all that worry isn't going to do anything anyway.
Hmm.
It's just immediately saying, okay, God, what is the truth of this? The truth is you know exactly what's going on.
Mm.
And whatever's going on, you're going to use this for good in my child's life and my own as well.
Yeah.
And so just taking those fears and lining them up with the truth of the situation as well as the truth of God's character.
Yes, yes. And you offer some specific scriptures that really tell us what is true in the midst of these fears, like, you know, Psalm 139, God is aware of, you know, every detail, or, you know, from Hebrews 13:5, that God will never leave our child nor forsake our child, that our child is not totally alone and helpless, or again, what you just alluded to there, Romans 8:28, that God will work all things for good. And so, again, even if there is something that happened with our child, do we not think that God is capable of bringing something good out of the situation? So sometimes we just need to memorize certain scriptures, don't we?
And, you know, just yesterday, it's kind of funny, Debbie, because whenever I write a book, that's the area where God will really work on me. Mm-hmm. And I think that once I've written the book and the book's published, I've moved on, right?
Right.
Give me a different lesson. Just yesterday, I was having lunch with my daughter, and she looks at me kind of funny, and she says, "The right half of your head has disappeared." I said, "What do you mean?" She goes, I can't see the right half of your head." So immediately, I'm concerned, and she said, "You know, it kind of feels like little wavy lines and this and that." She'd been on an antihistamine and different things for allergies, so I started asking her, "Do you think it might be a medication? Do you think it might be this, might be that?"
Yeah.
I called the doctor, and we made an appointment for her tomorrow. And immediately the what if started. What if she has a brain tumor?
Uh-huh.
What if she has, what if?
Yep.
And then, you know, I remembered a prayer all my life. Mm. God, do what it takes in my daughter's life so that she will cling to you.
Mm-hmm.
So that she will love you and depend on you. Because many times when a child is raised in a Bible-believing Christian home, they can take those things for granted and not really take ownership of their faith. And my daughter's a pastor's child, you know.
Yeah.
In a way, she's, you know, had her faith out in front of her all her life, and it's just been something natural.
Yeah.
But if God's going to use whatever to make her stronger in Him, I trust Him, and I know He's good in that.
Mm.
And, you know, some moms might think, how could you even think that? Well, because my mind automatically goes to the fear.
Yeah.
And that's what God does with the fear. He says, but trust me.
Yeah.
Mm. Let's take our first break. When we come back, Cindy, let's get to secret number three as we're unpacking your book, 10 Secrets to Becoming a Worry-Free Mom.
Spreading the fragrance of a rich spiritual life around the globe. This is The Debbie Chavez Show, heard every weekday by people all over the world at thedebbiechavezshow.com.
Hi, I'm Kathy Moreno, and I've ministered to women for over 15 years, and I've also been a longtime conference speaker and retreat speaker. I also have my degree in theology as well as aromatherapy, so I am a certified aromatherapist. I have a passion for helping women who struggle with anxiety, depression, and sleeplessness, and this passion comes from a personal experience of years of struggling with these issues myself. So I've created three different kits. One for depression called Joy, one for anxiety called Calm, and one for sleeplessness called Rest. It combines aromatherapy products also with the Word of God to bring the two together to really make an impact in relieving symptoms of depression, anxiety, and sleeplessness. I would love to help you, and you can find out more information at aromaplushealth.com.
We've all heard the saying, nothing is certain except death and taxes. Well, SIGS Funeral Services in Bellingham can't really help you pay your tax bill, but they can lower the price your family will pay when you reach the end of your time here on Earth, which, let's be honest, we will all experience. The knowledgeable and compassionate staff at SIGS Funeral Services can provide funeral services at about half the usual cost, and they're available to assist you 24 hours a day. Plus, SIGS can arrange additional discounts for veterans who were honorably discharged from the military. You might also want to take advantage of the Purple Cross pre-arrangement funeral program, which can be a real blessing for your loved ones. SIGS Funeral Services is fully licensed, and their staff will treat your family with tenderness, dignity, and respect. Learn more at SIGSFuneralServices.com.
Don't have time or energy to keep up with yard work? Kane's Lawn and Garden can take care of that for you at a price you can afford. If you live in Whatcom or Skagit counties, Kane's Lawn and Garden can take care of your mowing, pruning, and property cleanup at your home or business. With over 20 years of experience, they know how to get the job done quickly and how to get the job done right. Visit their website at caneslawnandgarden.com. That's Kane's, spelled C-A-I-N-S, lawnandgarden.com.
Hi, my name is Lori Jo Smith. I'm a realtor with Coldwell Banker Bain with 20 years experience and a lot of knowledge I would love to share with you. I like to find solutions, creative solutions. I love to educate. I also believe I'm very good at it. I'm good with numbers and I'm a great solution finder. I'm not going to sell you a house. I'm going to listen to what you're looking for, help you find it, educate you, walk you through the process, and make it a pleasant experience. I would love to talk with you, and of course, no obligation. Just call me up and we can just chat. You'll find me all over the web. You'll find nice reviews to look at. My name is Lori Jo Smith at Coldwell Banker Bain. Just look my name up and I'll pop right up.
A little something might feel like nothing, but in His hands it's all we'll ever need. To speak life to the broken,
to be.
Back on the program with Bible teacher, author, speaker, Cindy McMenamin. Her new book is called 10 Secrets to Becoming a Worry-Free Mom. And we're on to secret number three, which is trusting God's unseen work in their lives. And this is where, you know, sometimes we wonder what's really going on here. We're like, okay, I don't see this is all working out how I thought it would. And you tell actually throughout the book, you have different stories of different moms. And I think this one I can't remember the name of it. Was it Kim? I think it was Kim. Can you tell her story in this chapter?
Kim's daughter, when she was just 15, was her daughter named Angel. Her mm-hmm. only daughter, Kim's a single mom.
Yep.
Angel was diagnosed with Ewing's sarcoma, which is a rare type of bone and soft tissue cancer.
Oh.
So suddenly her life turns around. She's like, I've got a teenager, and suddenly I'm worried if she's going to live through the next year.
Mm.
And Kim talked about just that roller coaster of emotion, the fear, the anger. God, why? You know, she said, I was tired of people saying, well, God's going to work this for good. She says, why? How can this be good?
Mm-hmm.
And then she said she got to that point where, you know, yelling and crying and screaming out to God, and then suddenly just sensing his incredible peace.
Mm.
You don't have to know the answers. You don't have to do it all.
Mm.
You just trust me.
Mm.
And suddenly it's like, you know, she didn't have to fix this. She just had to trust the one who was in charge.
Yes.
And Kim gave just some really practical things that she has done during this time that I think mm-hmm. will just help any mom who's going through any type of situation where they're saying, why this?
Yeah.
Why is this happening?
Yeah.
She encourages mom to just prioritize God's word. I mean, mm-hmm. as she began to get into the Psalms and other parts of the Bible, that became a real comfort for her.
Mm-hmm.
And it was incredible how a certain verse would just be so what she and her daughter needed for that day.
Yes.
She talks about praying continually, just having the channels open, talking to God throughout the day, sensing his presence, but also just venting and talking it through
mm-hmm.
with God.
Mm-hmm.
Praising God for the good times as well as the bad times.
Yes.
That completely lifts our perspective. And then, of course, she talked again about that whole concept of reaching out, pursuing a community
mm-hmm.
of support,
yeah.
having people around you who can pray for you, people around who can help you, people who can hold you up and keep you strong.
Yes.
And when we're going through something with our child, when we begin to reach out to others, we find an amazingly lots of other moms
mm-hmm.
who are dealing with similar things
oh,
who can
yes.
be a strength and support.
Yeah.
And I love the little chart again that you put at the end of this chapter where you write down, you know, my child's why this situation, you know, the thing that's really distressing to you, you know, why are they going through this? And then next to it, how God might be actually working in this situation, which is just a paradigm shift where all of a sudden you're open to the possibility that, oh, God might be actually molding my child, maybe strengthening my faith. Maybe he's actually doing something in the midst of what seems to be a problem.
Exactly, and that's the secret in
yeah.
that chapter, trusting God's unseen work in their lives.
Yes.
We only see the temporary. We see what looks good and comfortable and happy. But God knows how to impact a heart eternally. He
yeah.
knows how to do the character building and the molding and shaping of our child and us as
mm-hmm.
their moms.
Yeah.
And when we can begin to say, okay, what might God be doing here? And that's when we begin to notice some of the good things that have happened. Kim talked about how her daughter has eternal values now. Her daughter doesn't spend weekends at the shopping mall. She's organizing rallies to help other cancer patients. I mean,
wow.
a lot of teenagers don't do things
That's
like that.
For sure. Yeah.
Yes, and they have just a much closer relationship than they had before because of what they've gone through.
Mm-hmm.
Secret number four. Has to do with when your child is going through a phase, and usually the phase is not a good thing, and it could be anything, but this is where you tell the story of a woman named Nancy and her daughter, Amanda, who actually started battling with depression.
Right. Yeah. And she saw her daughter just kind of spiraling downward, hanging out with kids, dressing differently, kind of becoming a part of that goth crowd, and she just panicked and felt like she was completely losing her.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, God used a sermon, actually a simple phrase of her pastor in church one day when he was talking about how worry is a sin because it's the sin of not trusting God. And she thought, well, I don't want to be doing that. And she never really connected the two.
Mm-hmm.
And as she began to just, you know, she had to just surrender and say, God, I don't know how to do this anymore, but I need you to help me. I need you to help her. And again, she began to see what so many moms see, is that that phase that looks really scary and looks really permanent so many times turns out to be temporary.
Exactly. And then you give some, again, practical things here toward the end of the chapter, like learn to respond rather than react. Can you give us maybe an example of what that looks like?
Well, moms tend to react emotionally.
Yes.
If somebody does something, we say, what? And we react with our tone of voice, with our volume, with our drama, which escalates the situation. To respond to the situation is simply to calmly ask questions. What makes you want to do that? Rather than, you want to do what? Talk to me about that. And then we can get kind of behind the reasoning of maybe what it is they're doing. And that helps build the relationship. I tell moms, learn to laugh. We will often look back at a stage and laugh at it. It might be so frustrating at the time, but when they're older, we may say, do you remember that time when you were doing this? Remember how ridiculous it was? You thought it was so cool?
Yeah, that's a great word. Yeah.
Yes.
And then you also talk about learning again from moms who have been there and leaning on God's word. That's going to be a constant theme throughout all these secrets. But let's move on to secret number five. And this is, again, when it seems like it happens in almost every child's life, that you see them hanging out with some people that you're thinking, oh, no, don't hang out with that person. Don't feel like you need to be part of that crowd. And this is where you talk about giving their social life to God. All right, tell us exactly how to go about handling this particular worry.
I had to deal with this, too, when my daughter started hanging out with girls that I thought wouldn't be a good influence. But, again, God was sovereign over that situation, and what I didn't even assume was that my daughter would end up having the positive influence on them. And that's why we need to trust what God is doing. And so the first thing I suggest is pray for that person you don't approve of. If there's someone you don't want hanging out with your kid, that's probably, maybe that child has a bad home life. Maybe that child is hurting.
That's true.
Maybe the only way that child will see love is through your child and your home when that child comes over to play. Picture that person's hurt and their heart, and maybe gain God's eyes for that child you don't want your child hanging around with. And then pray scripture over your child. Just I give examples there. You know, Psalm 51:10, God, create in Dana a clean heart. Renew a right spirit with her. Give my son a great desire to accept your word and store up your commandments within his heart so his ears will turn to your wisdom. Trusting that, again, God knows what's going on in their social life. I'm now at that stage where I'm beginning to hear my daughter say, I'm probably going to be single forever. She's only 23. Other friends have gotten married. And again, I go back to, okay, God, she's out of college. What if her chances of meeting a guy are extremely diminished? Well, I didn't meet my husband in college. God divinely orchestrated that. God can divinely orchestrate our children's relationships. Finding their spouse one day as well.
So good. All right, we're going to take our final break. When we come back, let's get to secret number six. When you wish that something had not happened, or maybe you're worried that things that have happened in your own life are going to be repeated in your child's life, you know, you're thinking that the same things that, you know, dysfunction maybe that's been passed down for generations is going to keep on going in your child's life. And, you know, how do you trust God in those moments and stop worrying? We'll get to that secret plus a few more with Cindy McMenamin in just a moment. Her book is called 10 Secrets to Becoming a Worry-Free Mom.
You'll find a daily video devotional, learn Debbie's next topic, and receive a daily scripture, all by signing up for Debbie's email alert at faithplace.org. Connect with Debbie on Facebook and Twitter, too.
Are you happy with your speed of internet service? Whether it's your home connection that's a concern, or whether the internet service at your business is less than ideal, StarTouch Broadband Services may well be your answer. StarTouch is Washington State's largest microwave internet service provider since 1998, and they are rapidly becoming the choice of high-speed internet service for both homes and companies all over Washington State. If you're looking for a super-fast connection, StarTouch has the affordable answer. Check out StarTouch at their website, startouch.com, and get on board with no-hassle high-speed internet service. StarTouch Broadband Services.
Hi, I'm Brooke.
And I'm Tanya. We both attend Squadron of Sisters here in Bellingham, Washington.
At Squadron of Sisters, I'm learning amazing principles directly from the Bible. Things that have totally changed my marriage. For instance, I'm learning the importance of affirming my husband.
My name is Laura, and Squadron of Sisters has changed my life. When I started listening to the principles and applying them to my life, it just, little by little, just transformed my marriage.
We are all gaining so much valuable stuff at Squadron of Sisters, and we'd love for you to join us Thursday nights.
It has become my favorite place to go. I always go home feeling like a better wife.
I just feel like this is probably one of the most powerful ministries I've ever gone to.
Our main chapter, Squadron of Sisters, meets in Bellingham every Thursday night at Christ Community Church on the corner of Guide and Horton Roads.
But if you live outside of Bellingham, you can easily start your own chapter. For complete information, you can always visit squadronofsisters.com.
Visit squadronofsisters.com.
Looking to try something new for dinner? Something to bring the whole family together that everyone will enjoy? Visit Hemplers.com for some great dinner ideas, like sausage jambalaya, easy ham recipes, and some satisfying soup suggestions. Hemplers Meats is a family-owned business on a mission to provide top-quality selections of ham, bacon, and sausage, made with no fillers and flavored with natural spices. And now with a complete line of nitrate-free products. For more information and where to purchase Hempler Meats, go to Hemplers.com.
Back in the program, final minutes with Cindy McMenamin. Her book is called 10 Secrets to Becoming a Worry-Free Mom, and we're on to secret number 6. And this has to do with those times where you just realize or wish that something hadn't happened in your child's life. Like maybe there was a divorce early on and you've remarried and now there's blended families and you're thinking, oh, I wish my child didn't have to deal with this. Or maybe you're concerned that the family dysfunctional pattern that's been continuing for generations is going to, you know, affect your child. And okay, so have you had to deal with any of that in your kid's life, Cindy?
Well, my parents divorced when I was 19, even though I was raised in a Christian family. Mm-hmm. There was also alcoholism that I was growing up with, and so I've read that I can have a tendency to be an enabler. I can carry the tendencies of an adult child of an alcoholic and all of this. And so I have really had to focus on just the new identity that we have in Christ. But also, I realize that none of us are completely functional. There is no perfectly functional family. There's sin all around us, and we blow it, and we're broken.
Yes, yes.
So, but there are times when I see the dark side of me come out. And there have been many times when I have had to come to my child and say, I'm sorry, I blew it, and I have no excuse. And this is not what I want to model in front of you. But I hope you know the difference between what I teach you and what I sometimes do. And I'm glad my daughter has extended grace.
Yes.
But one of the things that I've seen happen, though, you know, there's still been situations where we thought we were doing the very best thing, and my daughter was exposed to something different. And we have our own way of how we want things to turn out. But I have found that God has what I call a faultless filter, and he can filter out what could be damaging to our children. He also has a way of teaching them through the opposites. Sometimes when our kids see what isn't good, then they can know what truly is good. When they see what isn't holy, they know the difference of what's holy. And I used examples in Scripture of how that happened, too, with kids that should have been super messed up, but God had his filter over them. But God also has a way of filling in the gaps as well. I talked to many single moms as I wrote this book, and they were telling me about just situations where they worried that their kids didn't have a dad, an active dad in the picture, and yet ways that God compensated for that, ways that he made up for that through an older brother or through a godly man in their church or a youth pastor, and giving that child even stronger of a foundation than maybe if they'd had what was originally planned.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. And then you actually talk about talking to your children about boundaries, talking to your children about praying, you know, for themselves, that, you know, teaching them how to pray. Can you talk a little bit about the boundaries, talking to your kids about establishing boundaries in their own lives?
Well, just letting them know. I got this idea just from Marilyn, one of the moms I interviewed who endured sexual abuse as a child and is horribly worried that her children will be exposed to the same thing.
Sure.
And so she's had to, not wanting to put the fear in them, but more a sense of responsibility, and just said, we have certain boundaries. We don't spend the night at kids' houses. Mm-hmm. You know, we can have them over here, but that's just not something that we do. And she's been open with them to the extent that she can,
yeah,
depending on their age.
Sure.
But many times, you know, when we explain to our kids, this is because I love you, and this is because I want to give you the best opportunities possible, and you might understand this when you get older, but for now,
right,
these are the boundaries.
Yeah. No, that makes total sense. Let's get to secret number 7, because I know we might want to camp out on this one for a few moments, because this is when you find out that maybe that teenager has done something that they know that you would disapprove of, that is not okay, whether it's, you know, you found some alcohol in their car or some pot in their dresser drawer or some birth control that you thought your daughter was, you know, she's only 15 and what's going on here. And okay, so you say that we need to choose how to respond in those moments and invite their trust. So unpack that for us.
Well, we can be a worrier or we can be a warrior, a prayer warrior in a sense. And I give a chart again, what a worrier thinks or says. What is this going to lead to? Mm-hmm. Why would you do this to me? What will other people say?
Huh.
Oh, your chances at a great life are over now. See, that's all reacting, isn't it?
Yes.
And it's thinking the worst. A warrior says, this is something you can learn from. They can actually say that to their child. A warrior says, this is not about me. This is about my child's heart. You know, that whole self-blame?
Yes.
A warrior says, God, this is about you and my child. I'm not going to worry what other people are saying. I'm going to let you do this work in them. And a warrior says, God forgives and restores and gives you another chance, rather than, oh, your life is over.
Right.
A lot of times we react by saying, where did you learn that kind of behavior? What made you think this?
Aww.
When we realize we've all sinned, this action does not define my child.
That's right.
This thing is something that's prevalent in the world, and my kid wanted to try it. And now how can I turn this around for good? How can I allow God to use this for good? I gave examples of my friend Joan, who has these wonderful boys, but these boys have tried things in the world that could have made her just wig out and lose it.
Yeah.
And yet she had to calmly say, what made you want to do that? And talk with them. And during the course of the conversation, her sons realized, yeah, that was kind of dumb. I don't think I want to do that again.
But this was key, that we're approachable and that we're not condemning and actually don't act like we've never sinned in our life, right?
Exactly. And many times our kids hide things from us because they don't want our reaction.
Yes.
When actually, if we can show them that we will respond in a loving, wise, and mature way that can actually teach them and that can actually guide them through whatever is making them want to do these certain foolish things.
Yes. All right, let's scoot to number 8, secret number 8, where we just feel like our heart's breaking as a Christian mom when we don't really see our kids, especially as maybe teenagers, following Jesus, and we're thinking, okay, I raised him in church, I did what I was supposed to do, and it just doesn't seem like God's there, it doesn't seem like they're submitting themselves to Christ. What do you say in that situation?
I tell them, first of all, love them through that. That's what God does to us. God loves us home so many times, and we all have that rebellious heart to a certain extent. We all have that ability, that temptation to wander. And I tell moms, again, getting this advice from many moms who have seen their kids rebel but also seen them come back home.
Yes.
And it was never something mom did other than she kept that relationship open. She kept loving that child.
Yeah.
And that is, you know, seek comfort in God's word and stay tuned to the Spirit's voice. There might be times when you wake up in the middle of the night, hopefully not fearful of a child, because God does not give us that spirit of fear, but God will many times prompt a mother's heart to pray. Sometimes we don't know what we're praying about, but God, you brought that child to my mind. I'm going to pray because I know they're still in your hands. I know you're not going to drop them, even
right,
if it seems they've dropped you.
Yeah. So, and praying for the child, right, to hear from God, to maybe have the conviction of the Holy Spirit, that kind of thing?
Yes, and throughout my book, in every chapter, I give prayers that you can pray for your child, as well as a whole Monday through Sunday prayer guide in the back, but also just teaching a mom how to pray scripture over a child. Sometimes we don't know how to do that, and praying for also our own wisdom to know when to say something and when to be silent.
Okay, now this is huge, isn't it? Let's just repeat what you just said there. Pray for wisdom to know when to speak to your child and when to be silent, because sometimes we get into the lecture mode about, you know, you need to be following Christ. If you don't follow Christ, and we start lecturing, and most teens are just going to tune us right out, aren't they?
Yes, and I learned early on it is better and far more effective to talk to God about your child than to talk to your child about God in certain situations.
Yes.
And, you know, as we, in situations where, when my daughter was a teenager, and one time she did something that really disappointed me, and my mouth just wanted to fly off, and I closed my mouth, praise God, and I turned around and I walked away, not angry, but more like sad, and I went into my study. About 10 minutes later, she came in, sat down, and talked. That went way better than if I had said something. She would have gone into her room, closed the door, and we wouldn't have talked. And I would have built up that little bit of wall of resentment in her.
Yeah.
But I kept those walls down by thinking, I'm going to talk to God about this, not get angry at her. And I'm going to let God work on her heart until she's ready to talk.
So good. We have to get to secret number 9, because this is where we can be codependent, we can be the rescuer, we try to be our child's savior. And you say secret number 9 is surrendering to God your tendency to rescue your child from the natural consequences of their choices, right? So how do you know when you should help out to some extent and when you should, you know, back away?
Well, it's the tendency first to just rush in, isn't it?
Yeah.
And there are times when we need to help, and I talked about that in the chapter, but there are also times that we need to let God do it because he can be far more effective, and he always has a better plan, and he also might be wanting to teach our kids how to depend on him.
Yes.
So, of course, the first thing is to just send up that mental prayer, God, give me wisdom to know, is this something I do or is this something you do. And many times when we go to God first, that calms our heart.
Yes.
And then that helps us be a little bit more discerning about the situation. Mm-hmm. Again, like you said, you know, we're like a mother bear wanting to protect the cubs. Uh-huh. We want to rush in there and do it. We start doing it when they're young and they don't learn how to fight their own battles on the playground because there's mom.
That's right.
And God wants our kids to learn how to take a situation to him. And I even talked about a situation when I was a child, and I was upset about something, and my mom said, let's pray that God will change this situation. And you know, the next day, things actually went a little bit better, and I learned then, if my mom came down to the school and talked to somebody, that wouldn't have helped.
Huh.
But I went to God, and he actually helped.
Mm.
That was huge for me as a child.
Mm. So good, so good. Okay, last secret, we'll squeeze it in here. Secret number 10. Trusting God with their future. And this is especially important when the kids are maybe older high school years, maybe even transitioning towards the, you know, moving out of the house or college, and sometimes they're not handling it exactly the way that we would. What tips do you have for us in this regard?
Well, my first tip is to let them go.
Mm-hmm.
Let them learn different things. We can try to be in there. We can try to choose their situation. We can try to make them live our dream, but we have to back off at some point. And again, this comes through prayer. Lord, you give them the discernment to know what you want for them.
Yes.
And let them hurt so they'll grow. You know, we want to shield our kids from so many things, yet they learn the most through their hurt. And it's hard to see them hurt because, you know, we want to be there to make it go away.
Yeah.
And also, you know, listen to their hearts. Throughout our kids' lives, they'll be talking about things they like, and we need to ask them, you know, what do you love?
Mm.
What makes your heart sing? And encourage them in that area. But again, then back off a little if God seems to change that or lead them into a different direction.
Yeah.
Again, you know, it is all about relationship, not just, being critical and judging them. And, you know, being their example. Do they see us living our dream and going after what God has designed?
Ooh, so good. You know what? We're out of time, but can you give us a website address for you?
Yes, strengthforthesoul.com.
strengthforthesoul.com. Thank you so much, Cindy. It's been a delight. Once again, so much helpful stuff you shared with us. Woo! Maybe we can stop worrying so much. And we do have a couple of copies of this book to give away at no cost. If you'd like to be one of the listeners that receives one of our few
free copies, go ahead and email producer@debbychavez.com. Again, that's producer@debbychavez.com. And then ask for the book, 10 Secrets to Becoming a Worry-Free Mom. We'll see if we can get a free copy to you. Coming up in 10 minutes on the Carolyn Merriman Show, her topic, good reasons to see a secular counselor. That'll be in 10 minutes here at faithplace.org. Until we meet again, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him.